Susie Davidoff has been intricately engaged in the West Texas landscape she calls home, creating drawings and paintings and prints that reflect both soil and sky, and often incorporating found materials including cochineal, clay, natural charcoal, and lichen. Mapping has long been central to her understanding of nature. In her Simplified World exhibition at the Rubin Center, which features new work, Davidoff presents a series of drawings on found maps and globes with an accompanying hand-drawn animation, a new medium for this established artist. Today, my guest is artist Susie Davidoff. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks, Marina. It's great to be here.
So I got to ask, what came first, the drawings or the physical objects? I'm talking about those globes and those maps and all the cool stuff that's in this show.
The physical objects came first. Actually, the very first drawing in the show is a drawing on a map that was given to me by a retiring geology professor. That drawing came from Seaman Hall, which is the building where the Rubin Center is now located. It used to be a geology warehouse.
So did he know to give you an old map? I mean, did he know that this would be a gift that Susie would just appreciate?
Oh, no. I sought him out.
Aha!
I sought him out and said, oh, do you happen to have any old maps or anything that I can look at? And he was clearing out space and he gave me a few.
Before we started recording, it reminded me of being in a classroom in grade school with those, you know, the metal tops and the wood dowel bottoms and, you know, just those awkward maps that every classroom had.
Well, I've always loved those maps. And ever since I did the drawing on that one map from the Rubin Center, I was seeking maps. So I went to a school sale, an EPISD sale, and bought most of the maps and globes from a surplus sale that are in the exhibition.
That's how you got them.
So that's how I got them. Ever since I did the drawing, that first drawing on the map, I knew I would like to do more drawings on the map. I had the maps and globes for many years before I figured out exactly what the subject matter of the drawings were going to be, and also worked out the technical issues of getting the surfaces prepared to be able to accept charcoal.
So what are the technical issues behind that?
The maps are a little bit slick in some spots and don't have enough, I guess you would call it tooth, to be able to draw on. And so I was able to find a new material that you can paint on the surface to make it where you can draw on top of them.
Now, it sounds like you already knew you were going to paint or draw on maps, but where did that concept come from to begin with?
I've been working on maps and on old botanical drawings for many years, and more smaller maps, I would say, and incorporating them into large drawings as a collage element in a drawing. And when I got the maps in, actually it was a long time ago, early 90s, from the old Seaman Hall, I decided I would like to try working just on the map as the primary surface.
So I started then. What happened between the early 90s and now? I mean, that's a long time to have those maps waiting for you.
Luckily, I had enough space in the studio to keep moving them around, and I was working on other things.
So this was just the time.
It was just the time to do it, yes.
Now, the other thing that's interesting about this, well, I don't want to move from the maps just yet because I want to touch on the globes. Now, painting on a map seems difficult. Painting on a globe seems even more difficult.
It was really a challenge because I was very interested in having the complete three-dimensional experience. So if a viewer goes to the show, they can ask one of the staff at the Rubin Center and they will turn the globe for them. So I was having to consider working all the way around the sphere as well. So yeah, it was challenging and interesting.
And physically too, no? Because I mean, I can't imagine the mechanics of, okay, so you don't want to get a fingerprint here, especially since you do a lot of charcoal and, you know.
Yeah, that part of it also was challenging, yes. It's also a lot smaller than I normally work, so there were lots of challenges. Yes.
And this is the world you're painting on.
Yeah, right. So
another challenge that it seems you took on was the challenge of hand-drawn animation. How did that get incorporated into this one?
Well, there were a couple of reasons for that, I guess. Part of my concept for the show was a contrast between the wonder and fascination that I felt as an elementary school student with geography and with science and the way that the natural world is right now. And I think the present instability of a lot of species. So one of my favorite things in school were the stop motion animations in science class.
Yes.
I guess they weren't animations. They were stop motion films in science class of flowers blooming and starting from a root and the stem coming up and the bud opening. And I had done some animations many years ago, and I'm also really familiar with William Kentridge, who's an incredible artist from South Africa who works in charcoal animation. And I thought it would be really interesting to use a stop motion film as a basis and do a drawn animation from that film. So the basis for my film is a 1958 Encyclopedia Britannica film called Learning About Flowers.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And so I took portions of that and did drawn animation, which is a really I guess you would say laborious and long process where you can move each line that you're drawing about a quarter of an inch and then reshoot to create, I think I had maybe 5,000 or 6,000 images were then animated into a 5-minute animation.
5,000 drawings equals 5 minutes of animation, is that?
Yeah, just about. Just about, yeah.
What did you do with the drawings?
There are only 7 drawings total, which are in the exhibit also. And so a drawing may start as a bud, and then I'm erasing and redrawing and changing. So I'm adding charcoal, taking away charcoal, and redrawing each time before I shoot until that particular sequence is finished.
Now, you, I mean, just from looking at your works, you're very much in touch with the natural landscape that is here. And you mentioned, you know, the changing of species. Have you seen that firsthand? I mean, since you're so intimately involved with the pieces that you draw and the plants and the leaves that you draw, have you witnessed that?
Definitely, yes. There are plants and animals that I saw when I was a kid that we don't have anymore. There were horned toads that were pretty common that are not here anymore. There were falcons in the El Paso area that I have seen a couple of times that are no longer here. And I think just the amount of development, the loss of prairie land, loss of desert land, has created loss of habitat for lots and lots of animals. And I think that probably for me that's the easiest thing to notice is just how much more land is taken up by concrete or taken up by development.
Sure. And where did your fascination with nature come from?
I guess I've always been fascinated by nature. I think growing up in El Paso, the sky and the mountains were pretty central to the way I looked at things. And when I was little, my dad traveled for a living, and I would go on these long car trips with him. And I think that sort of presented a lot of time to look at the world.
Yeah, right. And now it's kind of, okay, so you're looking, you're painting about the world, your world on the world. I don't know how else to say that. I mean, what's the message that we should gather from seeing your nature drawings on these maps?
For me, one of the most important things about anything that I do is hopefully encourage people to look a little bit more closely at the natural world and pay more attention to things. And I think that the maps provide a lot. They provide another layer of information to look at, another layer to draw the viewer in. But they also, because they are all old, the reason why they look like maps from old schoolrooms is because they are. And so you're looking at maps many times of places that don't even exist.
You know, you're right. And it does. So it's a funny thing to walk into the gallery because you walk in and you're immediately transcended to elementary school. But then there's way more to it. You know, there's these layers, there's your drawings, there's just kind of processing how they all work together is really, really neat. I know you said there were some challenges with getting the maps to stay and physically making sure, you know, that everything kind of worked. How did you get past those things?
One thing that happens is that from those of us who went to elementary school with those maps, there's and globes, there's something seductive and interactive about them. You want to pull them up.
You really do.
You want to spin the globes. And those were challenges that I had to work out with the great staff at the Rubin Center to get them to where they could be seductive visually, but keep people from touching everything.
But they do. They do call you. I mean, I know you know that. We there was one talk that was at the Rubin Center, and the whole Rubin staff was just on guard of your pieces because they are so, you know, familiar to all of us.
Yeah, I think I probably set up a lot of things like that, because the other thing that's a part of the exhibit is because I did a lot of research on the various plants and animals that are endangered, that are featured in the drawings, I typed a series of field notes that go along with the show and that are pretty specific. And in keeping with the time period, I typed them on a manual typewriter. And the typewriter's also in the exhibit.
Yeah, and also calling for somebody to touch it.
And calling for people to touch it,
yeah. But we are not going to touch it.
Well, people have, and we just have to keep – I just keep retyping the title page.
Well, it's hard not to. And if you haven't seen Susie's show, you got to catch it before it closes. It closes on December 15th. It's at the Rubin Center. It's called Simplified World. And do yourself a favor and go see the show, but don't touch the show. Today, my guest has been artist Susie Davidoff. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Marina, thanks for having me. It was great.